Amen. I couldn't help but to think of Diane and to see her son and her granddaughter singing that song together here tonight. And old-time church member that went on to glory as well. And what a blessing it is to know we have those that gone on before us in the heavenly grandstands cheering on the work of Christ. And they'll continue to do so until the rapture of the church. It's a blessing to know that we have our loved ones that are cheering us on as we serve the Lord from a place of glory, from a place of glory. Mark chapter 13, if you would. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Going to be reading verse 28 down to verse 33 tonight. Starting a new series tonight, and just going to do a little bit of introduction into it, but you'll see as we make our way through here tonight. But Mark chapter 13, and go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading here in verse 28. The Bible says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree, when her branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see that these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done." All the prophecies leading up to the rapture of the church. "Heaven and earth shall pass away." Physical heaven, physical earth. "But my words shall not pass away." They're spiritual. Everything spiritual is eternal. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we do thank you for this and another opportunity to be in church. Lord, you know just the needs of all that are here tonight, and I just pray, God, that as they are faithful to attend, looking to hear from you, I just pray, as we already have through the special music, that they would receive a blessing. I pray that you might empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Last Sunday morning in the AM service, I preached out of the book of Psalms in chapter 119. And the title of the message was, "What Are We Doing With God's Word?" What are we doing with the very words of God? They're spiritual and they're eternal. Everything that you see physically around us, everything that we even enjoy as this heaven atmosphere, if you will, that's what it's talking about there, the atmosphere that we live in, will all be gone. But after that's gone, His Word will still be alive. It's spiritual. Our spirits will still be alive. It's spiritual. We should allow the Word of God to mold our lives. And I think I mentioned in that message, I trust that's why I think the way I think. That's why I live the way I live. When I'm living right and thinking right, it's because of the Bible. Now, when I get away from the thoughts of God, then I start thinking wrong and living wrong. But I trust that my life has been molded by the very words of God. And that's my desire, that I allow that to control what I think. And my desire is that I allow the Word of God to help me to discipline this physical body and to live as to pleasing the Lord. In order to do that, I have to know the Bible. I have to know the very words of God. Verse 31, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He wanted us to understand that. Two things are the most important. I was thinking and just preparing and studying in this last week, and a lot of things taking place this last week, and preparing. Sunday's always coming. Amen. We always want to hear from the Lord on Sundays and have the messages that God would empower and bless. And I was thinking, when I was thinking this Sunday night's message, I was thinking the two most important things as we go through life, at some point we understand this. First of all, the words of God, because they are eternal. And they'll never change. So a lot of things in life, just when we get used to something, it changes. Amen. It's always changing. Life is always changing. But the Word of God will never change. God's will always be the same. God's ways, God's Word. So the first most important thing that we need to stay focused on is the Bible, the very words of God. And the second thing is time. We never know how much time we have. The Bible tells us, and matter of fact, let me read that to you over in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, a very powerful passage of scripture we find here in Ephesians in chapter 5 concerning time. He says in verse 15 and 16, let me read it to you. It says, verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. A fool does not believe that there's God. They're not even looking to the Word of God. The wise understand the power of the Word of God, understand the permanence of the Word of God. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Focus on the Bible. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Make the most out of the time. Time doesn't stop for anybody. It's time. A lot of times we need that God uses time for healing. God uses time for His purposes. God designed time for humanity. Once that's done with, there'll be no more time. There is no time in heaven. But it is the second most important thing that we have to stay focused on in this life. Because we know not a day what a day may bring. So we have to make the most out of the time we have. In our own lives, with our own loved ones, in our walk with God, preparing for eternity. Amen. Great thoughts right there. I think what we need to do, and I want to do, we do it from time to time, periodically we go through and we just break down the Bible. I think it's time for us to do that, and we'll be going through, and I think what we're going to be doing is studying the divisions of the Bible. Studying the divisions. 66 books, but they're divided, and every division has purpose for that from the beginning to the end. And we'll be looking at that, not having any certain type of restrictions on how we're going to preach that and teach that, but that's what we'll be doing over the next however long it takes, because of how important the Bible is and how important the time we have. We don't know how much time we have left. And so if the Bible is that important, then we need to spend the time to make sure we know it. Amen. So we can apply it with whatever time we have left. I found this. It's called the anvil. And I really like this. It says, last eve I paused beside the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chimes. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all those hammers so? Just one, said he. And then with a twinkling eye, He said, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's word, for ages, skeptics, blows have beat upon. Yet, though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammer's gone. Voltaire predicted that within 100 years of his death in 1778, that the Bible would no longer exist. The printing press used to print his books was eventually used to print Bibles. And the house he lived in was bought and used by the Geneva Bible Society to store Bibles. I don't think that's a coincidence. Thomas Paine, who wrote The Age of Reasoning, known as the Atheist's Bible, boasted, in 5 years from now, there will not be a Bible in America. I've gone through the Bible with an axe and cut down all of its trees. That's what he stated. Paine died a lonely and bitter man, and yet the Bible is still one of the bestsellers in America. Praise the Lord for that. How important is the Bible? Genesis in chapter 1. The Bible is God's holy word. It's been preserved by God for man. Don't believe that man preserved the word of God. If man preserved it, there's errors. If man preserved it, it can't be counted on as errorless and sufficient. But if God preserved it for us, not only did God present it, God preserved it. He used man, no doubt, as we look back over the ages of time, but it was God who said in His Word through the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven and earth pass away. Because I preserved it, it'll never pass away. It's eternal. Yeah. Preserved by God for man, so that we might truly know, first of all, who God is. There's a lot of philosophies, there's a lot of religions that teach different things on who God is, but there's only one true God. And if He is what we know Him to be, then we know He would want us to know Him. And the only way we can truly know Him is through His words telling us about Him. So we find that the Bible reveals to mankind who God is. That's most of what the Old Testament is all about. The law and all the different things concerning the Old Testament, all the different miracles and all the different things that took place, dealing with God, dealing with Israel, His chosen people, it's for us to understand who God is. He's the same God today. But after that was established, then at the fullness of time, He sent His Son. And He brought to us a fulfillment, revealing to us who God is. Identified with humanity. Because in Christ's coming, it revealed this, His will for our lives. His will for our lives. That's the New Testament. That's Christianity. That is what it was all pointing to. Everything about the Old Testament was pointing to Christ coming, pointing to what makes sense, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and truly what humanity was created for, the very will of God. As we understand these things, then we all understand, and this is something that I have gone over in the past because it's so powerful, is if when we see the importance of the Bible and we understand we only have so much time to learn it, we need to first of all love the Bible. I mean, it's unlike any other book. This represents the words of God. If you had a letter, especially you ladies, maybe a little bit more sentimental than some of us men, but from somebody that you knew loved you and that was no longer here, but they left you a letter representing how they felt about you, you would cherish it. You would get it out and read it every opportunity. And any time that you felt a little bit down, any time you felt like you needed a little support, any time you felt like you needed to feel loved, you would have that and you would get it out and you would read it, and it would all come back to mind. Amen. This Bible has to represent God's love letter to us. And if you understand it's God's love letter to us, then you will love the Bible. Love the Bible. Not only do we need to love it, but first of all, we need to love it. And if you love it, then you want to learn from it. If you love the Bible, understanding it to be the infallible Word of God that is spiritual, that will never pass away, then you want to learn what it says. You want to make sure that I understand it from Genesis to the book of Revelation. I want to understand why God left this for us. There is a reason why God has given us every word that's in this Bible. From the very beginning to the end, God said, "This is my eternal word. This is something that I want my children to learn and have." If we love it, we ought to want to learn it. Because, can I tell you, that's what church is all about. The true church, as we assemble together, is to help people to better understand the very thoughts of God. And we come together, we want to hear the Word of God being preached. There's enough stories being told, enough philosophies and all the different things. What we need to base our beliefs on is what thus saith the Lord. Amen. So we need to love it, then we need to learn from it. And once we learn from it, we need to live according to it. If you'll love it, if you'll learn it, then it will equip you to live according to it. And there's not a better way to live life. God designed man. He designed everything about mankind. He designed everything about marriage and the home and the family and society and everything. If he's the designer of that, there's no one that can give you more information about what he designed than him. And the closer we live by that design, the greater our happiness, the greater our joy, the greater our peace. Love it, learn from it, and live according to it. The Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. Eternity past is revealed to us. How do we know how we come about? How do we know how this earth, how the heaven, the atmosphere, and the earth developed like it did? How do we know that man was designed and not just come about by chance? It's the Bible. The Bible takes us back. It reveals to us everything we need to know about eternity past, present, and future. So the first division of the Bible has to be the foundation for the rest of the Bible. The first division of the Bible is known as the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, which is known as the books of Moses. God's Word. Many believe that God worked through Moses to pen his word concerning the beginning of all things. The book of Genesis is just that. The Greek word means origin. Genesis is the origin. It is the beginning. It's what we have to understand. Can I tell you, if you don't do anything else tonight but to focus on verse 1 and learn to love it, learn from it, and live by it. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, was the most important thing, first of all, it will separate you from the lost. It will separate you from the foolish. It will help you to get on the right track, knowing that there is a creator God. Amen. Knowing that everything about humanity, everything about earth, everything about the atmosphere that we live in was designed. It didn't take billions and trillions of years. It took the breath of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In the beginning, God created an intelligent design. Don't let anybody teach you anything different. Don't allow your children to believe anything different. The one that's in charge of, and that is going to give an account for how your children have been raised and what they've allowed to develop in their minds is the parents. If you were here for Sunday morning Sunday school, we made that perfectly clear from the Word of God. It's not the government's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. It is the parent's responsibility to bring up your children and nurture them and admonish them so that their little minds are developing with the truths of God's Word. His church is here to help you to do that. But the parent will give the account as to how they have raised their children. It reveals God, the intelligent design of all things. Creation reveals just who Almighty God truly is. It reveals a lot of His attributes. Can I tell you that our minds cannot fully comprehend the power of God, the attributes of God? God has revealed to us certain things to help us to know of these attributes. He is infinite and we're finite. We have limitations. There are no limitations on God. So that which is limited cannot fully understand that which is infinite. Amen. We understand certain strengths and we understand certain powers, but we don't fully understand omnipotence. So God says, what you can understand, I'm going to write down for you. And I'm going to give you example after example so that you might know of my attributes, that you might know of my omnipotence and what I was able to do and what I will continue to be able to do. Amen. So we find that as we study the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, it's the Bible, and the Bible reveals to us who God is in creation more than anything else. Isaiah, and let's look at a few verses here. Isaiah chapter 45. He would have the prophets prophesy concerning His omnipotence and who He is. And that helps us to understand. As we hear the prophets reveal and preach, if you will, concerning the Word of God, the message of God. And there is the prophets, the prophetical books of the Bible, and what they are supposed to do. We'll go into that. We'll study some of that. But here in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, Isaiah writes, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain." He had a purpose in mind. "He formed it to be inhabited." He formed it. Not only the earth, but the atmosphere There's three different heavens that the Bible talks about, three different atmospheres. The atmosphere on earth that was formed for humanity. The atmosphere of space, and then the third of God, third abode, which is the abode of God, the third heaven, which I think circumscribes the other two. It's not a level, it just is all around us. But he says he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Amen. Can I tell you, that will change a direction in life. If you knew that there's only one God and the Bible reveals the very thoughts of God, the Word of God, and how powerful it is, why look for another religion? Why look for another faith? Why try to improve upon that which is eternal, the Word of God? I cannot. No one can. But the skeptics continue to try. Acts in chapter 17. Acts in chapter 17. Verse 24. Paul on Mars Hill. He says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. You think God's going to lose out when you fail to serve him? Like he needs that? It is his will, but God does not need that. Can I tell you, we need him. Amen. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. One nation, one blood stemming from the very blood of Adam. We ought to have respect for one another. We ought to have a respect for all humanity. And hath determined the times afore appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God's design. Listen to me. It will help us to live the best life possible. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move. I love that. In him we live and move and have our being. From that verse there, I've loved this thought. God is to us like the ocean is to the fish. A fish doesn't even know there is an ocean until you take it out of the ocean. How many have ever caught a fish? It's fighting to stay in the water. What happens when that fish comes up out of the water and you put it on land? Yeah. It realizes why it wants to stay in the water. Can't breathe. It wasn't designed for that. But in the water, that water feels every motion of that fish. That fish cannot make a move without the water feeling it. God is to humanity as the ocean is to the fish. You don't make a move without God feeling it. Goes farther beyond that. You don't have a thought that God does not hear. Amen. Not only does he know your thoughts, he knows the intent of the heart that led to that thought. Some people will tell me from time to time, "Preacher, I just don't know how to pray. I don't know if I'm going to use the right words." And I said, first of all, forget about the right words. God's not listening to your tongue. He's listening to your heart. Because that's the intent, okay, that leads to you speaking. How many have put their foot in their mouths many a time? And you think, no, that's really not what I meant. No, too late. It's what you said. No matter how much you try to backtrack, it's useless. Don't even try. I mean, but many times we do. We don't say what we really mean. We don't say it in a way that they can understand. But God will always understand. He doesn't listen to the tongue. He listens to the heart. Because the Bible says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." Amen. Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to be long tonight. Getting ready to close. Yeah, just an introduction here is all we're looking for tonight. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Unless you try to attach billions of years to have it develop into something. And then I don't know if a billion years is enough to develop into what we see, because it's intelligent design. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, clearly seen. And the design of man, the design of woman, the design of everything that God designed, clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Colossians in chapter 1. In Colossians in chapter 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ now. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and the Word was God, and the Word was Jesus Christ. For by Him, the Word, were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He actually came to reveal it to us in the New Testament. Old Testament reveals the power and reveals to us who God is. The New Testament reveals God's will for our lives. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Wow. You see, the Bible. Let me ask you tonight. You look at your life. Have you allowed it to mold you? Have you allowed it to mold your thinking? Does your thinking align itself with the words of God? Does your life align itself with the will of God? If not, you're missing out. You're missing out and don't even realize it. We ought to let God's Word have an impact on our minds and our wills. Two most important things: God's Word and the time that we have to apply it. Do you know the words of God? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Be studying the divisions, looking more at what we see in the book of Genesis. We know it's the book of the beginnings. It's where it all came from. We'll see why we have each one of these books. But maybe tonight is just an opportunity to commit yourself to these three things to first of all love the Bible. Second of all, look to learn from it. And thirdly, look to apply it. Let it mold you. Let it mold your thinking. Let it mold how you live your life. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you would now take it and just, Lord, I don't know exactly how you would have used this introduction in the lives of those that are here, but I pray, God, that you would have. And if there's decisions that need to be made, maybe there's somebody here tonight that has never put their faith and trust in your plan of salvation. They've been going in different directions and trusting in different things. I pray tonight that they would make this the night of salvation. Help them to make that decision before it's eternally too late. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.